Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
So Rob Schneider hangs in for the news. We get into Anthony Bourdain and Cokie Roberts and many other subjects with lots of thoughts. First, LifeLock. This year may be the worst ever for data breaches. Well, I'm sure it is, because every year that goes on, it gets worse and worse. Over 3,800 data breaches were reported in the first 6 months of this year. Just eight of those exposed more than 3.2 billion records, nearly 80% of all records exposed so far in 2019. You got to protect yourself. We're coming right on up to 2020. So many ways cyber criminals can try to take what's yours. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Heck, now and for a limited time, get 30% off your first year with promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or visit LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam to save 30%. Offer expires October 6th. Don't wait. Join now at LifeLock.com.
Corolla Drinks presents the World Championship of Guacamole, October 19th in Glendale, featuring Everride. The World Championship of Guacamole, presented by Corolla Drinks. Sound reinforcement from JBL. Visit JBL.com. Production and backline support courtesy of Champion Sight and Sound. Visit Champion.biz. The World Championship of Guacamole, featuring Everride, on October 19th. Many will enter, but only one will win. Follow at Corolla Drinks for more details.
Rob Schneider here, podcast See What Happens, new episodes every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts, with his wife as well, and stand-up shows all over. You can just go to robschneider.com, TV show Real Rob, available. You can binge it on Netflix. So, Rob, Shane, I don't know his work, but
I heard it's a really, really funny audition that he did that everybody really thought was great. And he's a guy, if you look at him, he can play a lot of different roles. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see him playing a cop, fireman, teacher, you know, playing you need a guy like that. He was like Phil Hartman was like this kind of a little puffy, you know, white dude who could play like any role. You can just imagine, you know?
Yeah.
This is in the similar way.
How many years did you have with Phil Hartman?
Four. Every show that I did was, and I remember, like, Phil was like, he never once muffed. Never lined.
He wasn't a breaker.
He had sometimes he had, you know, a couple of times he had some conflict with me, like, yeah, I want me to do that, you know, you want me to do that line just because Warren Beatty's going to be here this weekend? And I said, I didn't know Warren Beatty's going to be here this weekend. Yeah, that's why, you know, you're trying to suck up the, you know. And I remember like, hey, no, I swear to God, I just think it's funny. And to his credit, he would deliver the line and never try to dive ever. And he delivered the line and got a laugh. And I saw him just his face kind of shrink. And he would walk straight to me. And after the line, I swear the line got one of the lines, I forget what it was, but it actually got an applause break and got a laugh. And I had written the sketch because I was hired as a writer originally in the show. He would walk straight towards me and said, I'm a fucking asshole. You're right. Every time. But then he would argue with me again later, but like to his credit. And he was a guy that like, he would, they call, I forget his nickname, but they're like, you know, he was a rock. He literally would like, you could depend on him to deliver it every time, and he would never make a mistake. I never saw him make a show in any of the 80 whatever shows I was there. Solid performer.
Mm. So he's right up there with Leslie Jones, who I've never seen not make a mistake on that show. The other guy that always seemed that way was Dan Aykroyd. Like, that guy would fire his stuff off as from the Vegematic or Bassomatic guy.
22 years old, and literally, like, the real genius of Saturday Night Live is a guy named Jim Downey. Mm-hmm. He's like the guy who wrote, Jane, you ignorant slut.
Right.
And all the funny political stuff that you saw over the years in Obama, you know, the great sketch with Obama and the political with Obama and Hillary Clinton. Hillary, mm-hmm. Senator or Secretary or Senator Clinton. So under the Palestinian 15-80 or international treaty of blah blah blah. Now the land being taken by then whatever being absconded by the Israelis whatever. Do you think what is it? And they said okay, whatever complicated question. And they go to Senator Obama. Who's your favorite basketball team? You know, that's Jim Downey. You know, so Jim Downey's, you know, and
So Phil's one of those guys I miss from The Simpsons.
But going back to Dan Aykroyd, they said Jim said when Dan Aykroyd was done with the sketch, you'd see smoke where his shoes were. That's how he was like. He was just explosive. And 22 when he first started.
Imagine. I've never heard him like miss a syllable. Mm-hmm. It's a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And he just had, guess Phil Hartman was that guy.
Yeah, for us, yeah.
As well.
Dana Carvey, also explosive.
A while back, it was earlier this year, I tweeted my personal top 10 SNL alumni. Everyone does that. Here's my 10, here's blah, blah, blah. Well, Phil Hartman, number 4.
Yeah.
Just one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah.
And what's amazing is once I got to the end of the 10, how many amazing, legendary, Rob Schneider-esque performers didn't make the, you know what I mean? It's like this
everybody
list,
else comes
this
in at 11.
This list is packed with like amazing legends.
You know what? It's tough to get on that show, and if you get on it, that's why I felt like. I mean, I did. It actually kind of hurt. Like, I got fired. I didn't get a chance. I just remember like what a gigantic lift that was when I was a young man to get on that show. Are you kidding? I'm you know, it's like, this is the greatest. It's like your dream. And for that to be just like, you know, because some people who've never had the balls or the guts to perform and potentially bomb themselves could take away this kid's opportunity. And I just think you got to have some forgiveness. You have to have some, people make mistakes. This is kind of a zero thing and you're out. That's it. Strike one. You're out.
It's over.
Is he, does he do stand up?
He does stand up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's a performer, but he's also a very good sketch. I heard he was very, very funny in this thing and I hope he does okay. You know what? I hope the Saturday Night Live thinks this, and I have nothing to do with that show anymore, and I don't want to think that I have any say over there, but I would hope that they would reconsider this and hire him as a writer.
Ooh.
And he can ease his way back in.
What?
I think that would be the right thing to do.
What if he does a Soul Man-esque take on this?
I love this. I love it.
Poses as a black writer to make his way on to the...
No, Asian writer.
Asian.
And he does a Mickey Rooney-esque
Breakfast
right.
at Tiffany's.
No, we got something here. You got
now
something here.
We got something. Then he makes his way on as a writer. Then he creates a character called Ugly American, which is just him out of all the makeup and gets to be himself.
He's very tootsy.
I think in his defense, he's from Philadelphia. That's automatically you're born a little bit more racist than other people.
That is true.
Let's be honest.
You're a little more everything than the rest of the country
tougher.
In Philadelphia.
I remember like my buddy Tony La Russa was like, he was manager for the Cardinals for many years and the A's, of course, before that, and won the World Series, the A's and the Cardinals. And he remember he was telling me like, I said, thank you for beating the Phillies. I just called and said, thank you for beating the Phillies, because I was getting so much shit from all my friends from Philadelphia saying, Philadelphia, we're going to beat the Cardinals. We're going to get the World Series again. And then they beat him. And he said, let me tell you about the fans in Philadelphia. When the kids were going out there to bring out the equipment, little kids to bring out the equipment for a batting practice, they booed the kids.
Oh.
Right.
And then they booed Santa.
Well,
how do you boo Santa and
their
kids?
Their excuses are, that was a terrible Santa. I may have been.
They booed Santa. There's a prison in the basement of the stadium.
Yep. Nice.
I mean, it's a jail.
It's a jail.
Yeah. It's a jail.
Sure.
But
it's a federal prison.
There's a jail in the basement, and they booed Santa. I mean,
that's all you need to know.
What else do you need to know about Philly? All right, let me hit Custom Ink, then we'll break and do some news. People going on the cruise in October. Ooh. We're going on a cruise. Super fans want to get some custom shirts. Good. Go with Custom Ink. Ordering is simple. Website really easy to use. So many options for products. Fast and free shipping. Adding your design is idiot-proof. Just upload a logo. They have so many templates in their design lab. You can find one of theirs. Or if design's not your thing, they have people who'll do it for you. Brings people together. Custom Ink helps do that. It's fun. You commemorate whatever it is, a concert, a cruise, a family reunion, whatever, softball team. Special offer, you get 10% off your next order. For full details and to start designing, go to customink.com/Adam. That's customink.com/Adam. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back, do the news with Gina Grad.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this guy has come up in the past, and he's back in the news now. Ed Buck, a California Democratic mega donor, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, the guy in the apartment?
Yes, he's been arrested and charged with operating a drug house after another person OD'd at his apartment,
according to TMZ. Wait a minute,
You see, now this guy, Shane Gillis gets fired after one thing.
Oh.
This guy's got people dying at his
house. I have details about this guy because I've been listening to this on the radio
all
morning.
Come on, tell me.
Well, it's a mother's nightmare.
This is a mother's nightmare.
There were two youngish black men who died.
Probably homeless, possibly drug addicts.
Uh-huh.
And
they weren't architects? Successful architects?
Well, that was kind of his thing.
Super successful African-American architects who just swung by this guy's apartment to shoot a little smack in between visits with their intact families?
In between trying to replicate Niemeyer's most famous buildings in Brasilia.
Well, here's what I heard. Here's what I heard on the radio today. When they went into this dude's apartment.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
What'd they find?
They found like mattresses on the floor with like standing mirrors in front of them, drug paraphernalia everywhere.
Hey, can I say this?
Syringes everywhere.
Let me say this. Every middle-aged or older dude who lives in an apartment alone, once a year, we should be able to walk through
just
it.
Do
you know what I mean? Like,
unannounced.
You ever see those prison movies where they walk into the guy's cell and they're like, stand over there, and they start lifting the mattress
and they sweep.
Start knocking on stuff. Like, you trying to tunnel out of here?
That
what's behind this?
This shouldn't be hollow.
Purple jizz lamp.
Right. Yeah, running a woods light.
You know what the good move would be? You allow once a year, right? Unannounced. You're doing like December 22nd, and then again on January 2nd. You know what I mean? Because afterwards, you can be like, oh, right back to normal.
Right.
No. Ready? Do it again.
Yeah, hey, 57-year-old white dude living alone. Now, again, Hispanic family of seven trying to make ends meet. We don't need to go in there and find a bunch of lard and beans and God knows what else. That's fine. You're on the up and up. I'm talking white dude living alone,
bow tie
living
wearing,
in an apartment, bow tie wearing white dude. So once we get the dog, we get the woods light, we get the pig that sniffs for truffles.
I didn't know that was called a woods light. I had no idea what that was. I just I call it a jizz lamp.
It is
it's a purple light.
Well,
right?
You work with
jizz.
It's colloquially
jizz,
known.
Blood. I knew you would know what that is.
No, I know it's a woods light.
I can't believe you actually know the brand makes the jizz lamp.
It's a purple light.
Yes,
and it's got a magnifying glass in it. And it's a woods light, and I know.
Do you have one?
I've been on the business end of one. I mean, I had Drew call me out on the air.
Oh,
he bet me cash.
Yeah,
I think it was $100. Maybe it was $500 that I had. Warts on my dick. And I said, I don't have warts on my dick. And he's like, you have it, but you don't know it. And I was like, what do you mean I don't know? If I had an outbreak of warts, then I would...
You'd be the first to know?
Human papilloma or whatever.
Did he pull out the jizz lamp?
He said, if I rub it hard and fast enough.
Did he have the jizz lamp on him?
Well, it was in the van. Yeah, he drives a custom van with a jizz lamp. No. He said...
Does it say jizz lamp on the outside of the van?
He said...
ridiculous, Rob.
Come on, now you're making a mockery.
I'm sorry. go back to the warts on your penis. I'm sorry.
It says mystery machine on the outside of it. So he said... I said, look, I do not have warts. I would know if I had warts. And my penis is... pristine, you know, it's a fucking low mileage cock. It's like it hasn't seen that much sunlight, you know. And he's like, "Oh no, you have it because you live in an urban area and everyone has it. They don't know that they harbor the whatever." And then I thought about it. I went, "Okay, well now I know you have warts on your cock, Dr. Drew, because you've been pushing this wart agenda."
Everybody has it. Everyone has it.
It's like, "What I do? Come on, everyone, pees in a sink, right? Come on, everyone, right? Oh, don't lie to me. Like, you brush your teeth. Come on now. Like when you're pushing agenda now makes me think Drew's got warts on his cock." But I said, "I don't have warts on my cock." And he said, "All right, well, I'll bet you do." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "Well, we'll do it live. We'll get Dr. Marcel in here because Drew is either too big a star or too much of a pro to
put his hand on
himself.
Your junk."
And live on Loveline, I got my dick out. And like as I was driving to the studio that night, it's like, look. We get the woods light. We get the purple light out. We shut all the lights. We dump this like acetic acid on your dick. And the little...
the
little abrasions or whatever where the warts are will light up. And I'm starting to drive there going, I'm going to be broadcasting this. And he's going to be going, ha, 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 I told you.
Eureka.
I told you.
Hey, dirt.
Which is not going to be good for my social life because it's a syndicated show. And I was kind of driving there thinking about it.
Wait a minute.
We got the acid out. We got Dr. Marcel out.
Yeah.
We got the Woods Light out. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Drew's so goddamn cheap and such a quack. He was like, whoa, maybe a little something. Come on now. I was like, what about your Hippocratic Oath? All right. So
this dude.
I'm glad that had a good ending. I wasn't sure where that was going to go.
Yeah.
But I figured since you were telling the whole story, you were going to go.
Happy ending. All the way.
So this guy would inject men with methamphetamine because that was kind of his thing.
Oh, sorry. Named after American... physicist.
Okay.
Robert William Wood in 1903.
Did I get Wood? Is that where that came from? Or no?
I'll buy it.
Okay, but so this guy, what else did he have?
So that was like his fetish. He would pick up these homeless dudes, these addicts, and then shoot them up. This is what I heard on the radio today. To the point where they were about to OD and then have his way with them. Mm. And that was like his thing. So this guy, I think it happened like a month ago and he thought he was ODing, so he went to the hospital, but then he went back like a week later because I think he, you know, probably needed the money. Mm. And so Buck is facing 3 felony counts, battery causing serious injury, administering methamphetamine, maintaining a drug house. Buck's arrest comes after months of public scrutiny because the other two guys died when this happened in his apartment, both from overdoses 18 months apart. Prosecutors reportedly allege in court docs that Buck uses his power to manipulate victims to participate in his sexual fetishes. That includes injecting them with the meth, and they want his bail.
Guy? Is he a rich guy?
He's a Democratic mega donor.
There's a picture with him and Hillary.
Yeah. It's everywhere now. They want his bail set at $4 million, so we'll see.
Okay.
Jesus.
By the way, this is one of my candidates for when I get hold of his parents and I go, what the fuck? This is what your kid is up to as an adult? This is his thing. He likes finding streetwalkers and injecting them and then fucking them. It's like, what the fuck? What did you do as a parent?
What did you do to that?
That makes me think, to that point, do we have any idea how this guy got his money? Is it family money? Is he self-made billionaire?
Well,
You would think that they'd try to cancel this guy's show. Couldn't you get him unhired at this point after the third OD?
It's good stuff. My feeling is that the guy who works really hard to build up this industry or business or wherever he's made him rich doesn't have time to fucking pick up
he has time if that's his fetish,
but the fox catcher dudes of the world, well, the guy who ends up all these millions of dollars and heads out gravity,
that's what the weekends are for, Brian. You got Saturday night, yeah, right? Let's go.
Yeah, you build up your industry on Monday through Friday.
I'm driving
downtown. I'll be back in an hour.
There's fuck you money. There's fuck me money. He has fuck him money.
Fuck him money.
But wait a second.
Yeah. Yes.
This guy's working out of his apartment on the west side. So
is he
independently wealthy, or is he just doesn't want to bring him back to the home?
Oh, he's independently wealthy.
Okay, what does he make his money
at? I just Googled it. This is the first thing that comes up. Assuming we're talking about the same guy, because this is weird. This says Ed Buck began his career as a male model and actor in Europe before using that money to buy a courier service, Gopher Courier, which made him a millionaire. He's 65 now, a donor to many candidates. But this says he's donated to Bush, Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Ted Lieu. So that must be the guy.
I feel like most rich guys just donate to whoever's, to everyone, because they hope that they win. There's not too many rich guys that are one way or the other, right?
No, I think they go one way. I think there's Republican rich guys who go Republican and Democrat.
But don't you think the majority of the Epsteins or the Bucks or the whoever's are just putting the money everywhere so that whoever ends up winning, they have some, foothold there.
I think if you're in California, a Democrat's gonna win, and so you just end up giving it to a Democrat.
This guy's example of give it to everyone.
He gave it to George W. Bush and Hillary Clinton.
Sorry. Yeah. But I don't know if he made a move at some point and just went more Democrat. I know if you're Trump in the 90s and you live in New York, you got to just spread it around. All right.
Well.
He'll be missed.
He's got another chance. One more chance. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. One more.
He should apologize and be suspended. But we'll think about it.
Mel Gibson. I'm going to give you one more chance.
His the tapes that don't get played enough are his phone recordings.
That's my favorite one.
That's
the hot
guys tubs in love.
The best. The hot tubs
amazing.
Are the best.
The guy in love, though, the saying all these horrible things, and he says at the end, I'm going to give you one more chance.
I mean, you know, please, say what you will about Baldwin please. And the piggy thing or whatever. That's that's a 1.5 compared God. To being that hot tub blowing me right now. And
he has feelings about other races.
And the heavy breathing. He was like, the he panting. Was panting.
Yeah. And that guy still gets in movies.
Yeah.
He's a good actor. That's true. He's a great director.
Always have
you have to set aside the art from the hot tub. You have to set aside the jizz lamp from the donations. You have to set aside the ODing from the service.
That's right. Wasn't the only person willing to take a chance on him after that Jodie Foster? Isn't that bizarre? Out of all the people?
She cast him in The Beaver. That's was, like, right. First
Will Ferrell just put him in a movie a couple years ago.
In that moment, it was just Jodie Foster.
They didn't put Mel in the front of the poster. He's standing behind me, kind of his eyes, only exposing his eyes like, I'm sorry.
Like Kilroy.
I have a Jodie Foster theory.
What's that?
I think she's like never leaves Malibu. And I don't think she lives in like Beverly Hills or anything. I'd be curious where she lived. I will bet you her Jodie Foster Mel connection is a Malibu connection.
They're
like they hang out in Malibu a lot.
Interesting.
It's pretty. They're thick
very
as thieves
reclusive.
Over there.
Yeah.
All right. Let me hit.
All right, Sugar Tits. What do you got? That was my favorite one. I never heard Sugar Tits
That's
before.
A good one.
Well, and
Sugar
it also,
Tits is a good one.
It also turned out that Mel's dad turned out to be a little bit of a piece of work.
Yeah,
a
little
well.
Bit. He's like one of the foremost Holocaust deniers. You know, it's a funny thing. It's, Dan Graney told me a funny thing. He said, like, you know who would be most pissed off about Holocaust deniers? Hitler.
Right.
Hitler's like, you know, it's a funny thing for shows that worked. You know, the campaign for Russia was a disaster. You know, the Sudetenland, okay, you got to work out pretty good. But the one thing that for sure worked was the Holocaust. You're trying to take that away from me. No, so I think that's
ironically, I did this for you.
Yeah.
You people.
You ingrates. I'll bet the terrorists are pretty pissed off at Ed Asner. You know, the federal government took those, towers down.
Excuse me.
Come on, we planned for years.
I know.
Over here.
Give me a break. Jodie Foster sold her Beverly Hills home in April. So she
That's terrible.
So she did live in Beverly Hills.
Mm. Okay.
She's not a Malibu gal, huh? Where did she relocate? Nobody knows.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think they say
it's proprietary.
That.
She seems like a Monterey Oprah type.
Film business is tough, guys. Yeah. That's a tough one.
I can announce that I'm good friends with Jodie Foster. Because no one will verify it.
She's not going to come out
she's
to
not
disagree.
Dress it.
Say you're great friends with Clooney. People are going to call bullshit, and then you're going to be called out. Yeah. You know,
how about this guy's making billions of dollars on like the tequila and stuff like that? Like, you know that David Spade told me last night that Michael Jordan, if he needs the money. It's like a tequila.
Yep.
The bottle's $1,600.
Right.
For the extra añejo.
Second, like, who's wanting, somebody who's not known for something? It's like, Michael Jordan. You know, it's like I was saying, like Guy Fieri, basketball camp. You know? I don't get it.
It's a world where people just, put your name on it, leave money on the table. We'll take care of everything.
I want some of that.
Let me hit the Dos Equis. Hey, college football fans, need to brush up on your knowledge. Enroll in the Dos Equis College Football College. You'll learn from brilliant football minds like Jay Cutler, Martellus Bennett, Katie Nolan, John Bacon. Not only will you win every football argument this season, you could enter for a chance to win tickets to the 2020 college football playoffs and national championship. Be the first in your family to earn a football watching certificate from a beer school. Talk about prestigious. Enroll in Dos Equis College Football College. And you do it at doseckies.com/edu. Doseckies.com/edu. Dos Equis, keep it interesante. Right, Dawson?
Dos Equis beer brands. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly. Imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. Copyright 2019. Dos Equis beer brands. No purchase necessary. 50 U.S. and D.C. 21 and over only. Enter by 12/2019. Full rules available at doseckies.com/edu.
Mel Gibson's dad is a Holocaust denier. He's 101 years young.
Still around.
That's a secret.
Which proves there's no God.
Oh, he was there.
It's a youth.
Right.
Yep.
Denying that millions of people were killed.
Yeah.
Systemically. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
In an organized fashion.
Well, more than 200 of Anthony Bourdain's most prized possessions will hit the online auction block next month, with part of the proceeds going to his alma mater, the Culinary Institute of America. The entire collection is worth up to $400,000, according to the spokeswoman for Lark Mason. Are you familiar, Lark Mason Associates?
That's but Anthony Bourdain has one of those, he did one of those shows that, and Rob will know this, like when you pitch shows, you have to go, it's like Anthony Bourdain, but with horses.
Right.
You know? Like, you know, you travel.
Like Anthony Bourdain, except you bring people over your house, have them OD, and then fuck them. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Is it?
No, it's not. No. No, it's Anthony. No, we bring drug people over, they OD, and then you fuck them. No, yeah, I don't know, like, you fuck them, and then you OD. I don't know what it is.
This is like the Anthony Bourdain of singles on an island having random sex and getting roses.
No, that's
like,
true.
They just, they go, it's an Anthony Bourdain, but like for antique cars.
I went to I swear to God, the Discovery Channel, they just said, look, before you even pitch a show, let me tell you right now, just don't say it's Anthony Bourdain. It's the Anthony Bourdain. It's just
right.
Everyone says that every show.
Every show.
It has nothing to do with Anthony Bourdain.
Well, also,
it starts with an A, but it's Anthony Bourdain. It's got it, you know.
Yeah, you travel, you meet people, sometimes you eat and drink with them, but they always do a thing where it's like, it's Anthony. I mean, that's his real legacy, having a show as the sort of template description other show.
Well, that's in the movie business back in the 90s. You used to pitch movies and go, no, it's like Jaws meets another successful movie.
Right,
you know, it's like hit movie meets hit movie. They never say, you know, it's like Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah. Right, versus the two Volcano movies
meets
that came
Airplane
out in the
same 4.
Month.
Well, 60% of the proceeds will go to Bourdain's family. The remainder
will go to the
legacy scholarship that he set up.
60% they're going to keep.
Yes.
It's for us.
So here's a few things that are on the auction block. Exhibits showcasing the collection will be held in New York, Savannah, Georgia, and New Braunfels, Texas.
By the way,
New Braunfels, Texas, that's where you want to, that's where the big bucks comes from.
It's odd.
I'm perfectly fine with this.
When
you don't hear about the percentages, where they go, a percentage will go to the pediatric, that's less than 1%.
Kim got busted for that.
Be upfront and say,
Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
And go, look, we're the family. Mm. We're going to keep the lion's share, but you're going to get 40%, which is a nice big fat chunk.
You're getting almost half.
Right.
So here's some of the stuff.
That's how much
Navy
we
jacket,
love this charity.
Right. A Brad Phillips, Christine, and me. It's a still life oil on canvas. We have a picture of that. Custom Bob Kramer steel and meteorite chef's knife.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, a teak flip top desk. Very Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Chrome duck press. Ooh, for
what?
You, Rob.
Duck
a chrome
press.
Duck press from the Paris episode
Holy
of The Layover.
Mm-hmm.
Michelin Man statue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Josh Lurie, this party sucks water cooler on paper. So those
water
are a few
color.
Things. I'm sorry, what did I say?
Water cooler.
Watercolor on
I'm
paper.
All right.
I don't know if I want to buy the toilet that Elvis died on. You know what I mean?
Well, did you hear somebody just stole Winston Churchill's childhood toilet?
Oh, God.
This is going around.
Oh,
is
no.
A solid
really?
Gold toilet?
Yes. Yeah. A solid gold toilet.
Huh?
Yeah, this is in the news. This is the one of those with News of the Weird.
His childhood toilet?
I didn't see childhood, but it was Winston Churchill's
his toilet. Home.
It's like, you know, these autographs. It's like at certain point, like, what is worth something? Like, you know, they were selling like Buddy Holly's autograph when he was like 8, like his little school picture, like Maggie Highway.
Before he was Buddy Holly.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I mean, just people are nuts.
But he had a solid gold toilet?
Yeah.
I just saw a gold toilet.
Can you put a picture of it?
Oh. Find out details.
But that, solid that, seems like that too much
sense.
Gold to me.
It's very gold.
No, but solid gold toilet would
like
weigh
a few $100,000.
2 tons and be
18 karat gold.
The whole thing?
Yeah, and solid gold toilet has been valued at around $6 million.
Mm. Wow. Well, listen.
It's befitting a Winston Churchill.
I cannot by the way, you know, in terms of criminals, when they go, he stabbed this guy at a liquor store for $18. And you're like, God, it's so sad. Like, what do I say? You steal a solid gold toilet for worth $6 million.
It's yours.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're criminals
it's
I can live with. Yep. You and pickpockets. I'll give a pass.
That's not a drug guy, you know, trying to OD and have sex to get high. This is a guy who knows there's a value to this toilet.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Point taken.
Legendary journalist Cokie Roberts has died. She was 75.
You know how you melt that thing down? Do you know how many teeth for black people you could make?
You smelt that
You're
shit.
You're never going to get on SNL.
Right quick.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
The truth came out. You know, you're going to say racism eventually, the problem exposes itself and takes care of itself. It just did.
Exactly.
Right
there.
Right. But it had a punchline at the end.
Over the summer, Roberts, whose real name was Mary, by the way, said she'd been having some...
Who?
Cokie Roberts.
Cokie. Passed,
yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Unspecified. That was an upgrade, right? From Mary to Cokie?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where Cokie came from, but it was posted on the ABC website that she did have breast cancer. She began her career in 1968 and joined ABC as a reporter in 1988. She was a commentator and an analyst for her 3 decades within the network, winning 3 Emmys over her career, getting inducted into the Broadcast and Cable Hall of Fame.
Let's go back to Cokie, because the thing about, like, the Filipinos, I'm Filipino, my mom's Filipino, and like, which makes me Filipino.
Yeah.
If you made a mistake, every Filipino has a nickname. Mm. And if you made a mistake in your childhood and you picked up something, like my cousin, she's a doctor of nursing. She had made the mistake of picking up a pair of boots and putting on her mom's boots when she was a little kid. And she's been Boots. For the next 70 years, she was Boots.
Dr. Boots, you're needed in the OR.
Dr. Boots, yeah, you're just stuck with that, you know?
Yeah.
Bong, Uncle Bong.
She picked up something, thought it was a Coke, but it wasn't. They call her Cokie.
Yeah, so Cokie, like Cokie.
Yeah, that's probably.
Do you need another Coke, Cokie?
Yeah, I remember.
Now you're in for life.
I went to Rob's house and I tripped on a tampon.
Oh.
And now I got this label that I just can't get away from. No, it's so true, because I work with the Filipino guy when I installed custom closet. No, this is a good Filipino.
Oh, sorry. You didn't specify.
We worked at Always Better Closets, and he was a Filipino guy, but I never knew his first name. His name was Pogi.
There you go.
And he was cute. And I said, "What's Pogi mean?" He goes, "Handsome." And I'm like, fuck you. Yeah. Your nickname is Handsome. Like, it sounds good to us in English, right. Pogi, but translated, it must sound like a douche in front of Filipinos. Like, Handsome is
they call me Pogi.
Guapo.
Yeah, right.
I had a Filipino friend whose dog was named Pogi, so I didn't know it meant anything. There
Do you
go.
Know it's Handsome, Robin Maxipata?
No, I didn't know. I thought that was maybe, or Guapo.
I do know it's Handsome, yes.
It's Handsome, right?
Yeah, people call me that as a kid all the time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Of course.
Yeah. Not as a name. They would just say, he's Pogi. He's Pogi.
I know. They're so nice. They're the most politest people ever. Robert, what do you want? Do you want something, Robert? I remember I was in Manila. What do you want, Robert? Do you want to get something? Tell us what you want. And I went, I don't know, a coconut? Oh, my God. So they sent, like, they want somebody from the house 3 days to come back with a coconut.
Wow.
That's how nice these people are. That's why I learned, like, if you said something's nice, if you're a Filipino's house, that's nice, they'll take it off the wall and give it to you. So I just remembered, I was 7 years old, don't say you like something.
Let me do a reenactment for my house. Mom, I'd like a grilled cheese. Fuck off.
Okay. Fuck off, white man.
I'm gonna go in
Fuck
the room
off,
and
Pogi.
I'm going to go in the room and cry. Mm-hmm.
Joe did that to me the other day. I was like, hey, those are nice shoes. He looks at me, he's like, you want them?
That's so
Isn't that true?
Joe.
Isn't that
so
true?
Joe. All right, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. Perhaps it's nickname a Filipino. Perhaps it's save hundreds of dollars on your auto insurance. You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that money, put it in your pocket, buy coconut. Just go to geico.com. Spend a couple of minutes and find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance. All right, one more, Gina Grant.
All right, well, I was waiting for this one. A man in Florida has offered up a Bugatti Veyron for $125,000. There's just a little catch, and it's a nice-looking car, right?
Yeah, the Chiron, the next one, is even nicer.
But this is good.
This is $1 million plus
and
worth of cars.
Why on earth would it only be $125,000?
One, two. It has that Democratic donor in the passenger seat, and he's with a gentleman of color, and they will not leave the car.
That's a tough sell.
Well, the reason why it is so heavily discounted is it's not actually a Veyron. It's a heavily modified 2002 Mercury Cougar.
Wow.
The anonymous Floridian's mock Veyron looks almost exactly like the real thing from the outside, according to Men's Health, because they are scrutinizing this thing. The headlights, the vents, the grills, bodywork, all carbon copy. It even features a retractable rear wing, just like a real Veyron. The only thing that seems to be amiss, according to them, with the exterior are the wheels and lack of carbon fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And the interior is impressive as well. It doesn't look like it's from a car that's supposed to be worth around $2.5 million, apparently. The seats, dash, and headlights were all customized by the seller and look the part, but the switchgear, door latches, and steering wheel give up the act, according to them.
Wow. Don't you feel like this is going to pay for itself in pussy? Like, you are some, you know, budding rapper or something. Yeah. You don't. Faron is, I don't know, it's 1.3. I don't know what used ones are going for. 1.6, 1.2 to 1.6 or
but
something.
But you know in
depending.
Your heart, you know, it's like when you get a kit car, a kit Porsche a Spider. You
right.
Know, you just, you feel shitty driving around.
Yeah, yeah, but it's not you for you, like, it's for the ladies.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You see what I'm
you
saying?
Feel less shitty with right. my jizz lamp driving around with a kit Spider.
Yeah, what is one going? There's been a few that have gone at auction and a few for sale, and they're like one.
A lot are call for price, but I'm seeing one for like 1.2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a substantial savings.
Yeah.
You know? They had a kit, oh, not a kit, but a replica or fake Ferrari GTO. They told you cars sell for 50, 60, 70 right. million bucks. They had one go for 400 grand. It's not a GTO. It's 400 grand worth of non-GTO Ferrari. It's still got a Ferrari engine and stuff.
But wouldn't he sort of give himself up when it tops out at like 65 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Well, again, it's really just for valet and the club.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's keep it out front. And by the way, shut your pie hole, valet guy, because I don't want you yapping about this as a Fiero. You know what I mean? Like, shut up. I got to get the chick out of the club. Yeah. I'll get her in this thing, and we'll cruise at 35 back to my apartment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's the real application here.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
a guy with too much time on his hands.
Mm.
I think. You like that, though.
I like when guys do this. I always recognize their wives are pissed.
Because we're not around.
It's like, you have a daughter you haven't seen in 9 months, and you're out in the garage.
Turning a piece
that's
of shit
right.
car into a slightly...
Less
shit.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
All right, sugar tits, what do you got?
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe, two I's, S-I-M-P-L-I, simplysafe.com/Adams. Get yourself some protection, home security at Simply Safe. Hey, the Kentucky Bourbon Barter is going on. Let's see. Where is that? Now, we're going to be doing the show at Lexington mm-hmm. and the Comedy Off Broadway.
On Friday.
That'll be Friday night. I'll be starting out on the Kentucky Bourbon Barter Trail. And
so awesome.
Yeah, no cash, no credit cards. But where do people go for that? Let's see.
So use the hashtag Bourbon Barter on social media. Visit spiritsnetwork.com to see the video and sign up for other things as well.
And you can check out my special, Not Taco Bell Material. It's on Chassis and Amazon and Apple TV. And check out our stand-up shows on youtube.com/Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Rob Schneider, everyone. Check out the podcast. See what happens.
Thank you.
And that's Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts. And then stand-up coming up tomorrow and Saturday. That's at, or through Saturday. Wait a minute. Am I screwing that up?
No, that's right.
Tomorrow?
Friday and Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tomorrow and Saturday. And that's at Jacksonville Comedy Zone. And go to robschneider.com for all the shows and everything about Rob. Until next time, I'm Corporal Rob Schneider, Chief Grant, and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. We'll see you in Kentucky. Get your tickets at adamcarolla.com.